That wake-up guy was trouble.
Yo, get out of bed. What are you doing? You're late. You're late. You're late.
I'm wide awake.
Come on, everybody. Wake up. Rise and shine.
Wake me up.
Wake up, will you, pal?
Wake up, hey Susie, wake up.
Wake me up before you go, go.
Wake up, everyone.
This is my wake-up show.
Now waking you up from the Palatial Bob and Sherry Studios, it's Bob and Sherry.
Welcome. We welcome you to the Bob and Sherry Show with our arms open. Our arms open and our minds closed. That's pretty much how we operate around here. It's very nice to have everybody with us. Well, no, not all of us. Just one of us, really. And we don't need to get into this at all. Right? We don't need to do that. So there are two or three show business acts or personalities that, you know, as the years go on, they may have died, but you still find out new nuggets that they either said or did. And the Beatles, I think, are one of them. I saw this quote by George Harrison that really, really hit the nail on the head. He said, "See the world like a big wardrobe. Everybody has his own costume, and there is only one that fits you perfectly." That is so true. I heard Stephen Van Zandt, Springsteen's guitarist and the guy who stars in The Sopranos, once say, "If you are a true rock and roll guy, there's only one place you're comfortable, and that's in a rock and roll band. Everywhere else," he goes, "everywhere else seems foreign." And I think they're both right about that. I think there are people, for instance, well, you know, doing what we do. I don't know. I just can't see myself working in an office somewhere. If I didn't, you know, didn't listen to that. If I didn't come up with this scam, oh my God. I don't know what would have happened.
That's your funniest line of the day. It's the funniest line. That's the funniest thing you'll say this week.
It's a good start. Yeah.
Drop the mic. Drop the mic. Walk away.
Thank you.
Done.
Enjoy it, everybody. See you later on. If I hadn't found this scam, I don't know what would have happened to me. And I was thinking about that. But then there are other people who I know who fit into the same category, not with radio, but with what they do. For instance, Mary and I have a friend, and his name is Phil, and he is one of the greatest bartenders I've ever seen. He posts on Facebook, on Instagram, "Hey, come over to the bar tonight. I've got this new thing going. I'm Phil." And then he posts when he goes on trips with his girlfriend, "We're over here in New York City or San Francisco, wherever. This is the greatest martini that I've ever had." He is made to be in food and bev. And don't you know people who have worked in food and bev like since they were teenagers, and all of a sudden they're in their 50s and they're still taking drink orders because that is the costume that they feel comfortable in. And you know, you could have you could be a nurse. There's only one place that you feel comfortable, and that is working in an OR or working in a doctor's office. It's so Harrison was so right. Everybody picks out the cost. Not everybody, but most people pick out a costume and they wear it and that's it. You see a guy working on a shrimp boat or a lobster man in Maine. I mean, I know a few of them, and there's no way that they could work in an office somewhere, you know, in their own way. They're kind of like me. They've got to be out on that water pulling up those traps. They don't. There's no fighting it is, I guess, what I'm trying to say.
I think that's true. I mean, I don't think it's true for me. I love what I do, but there were a lot of things that I wanted to do that I think I would have loved to do. But I agree with you. I think it's true for some people, for sure. And it's funny because there are some industries, and the restaurant game is one of them, where you are that animal because you have to be, because it's not just a job. It's a 24/7 life.
Yeah, it's a 24/7 life. Plus, yeah, you're working for somebody else most of the time, unless you own the joint. But you're also kind of a free spirit and kind of an independent hustler, right? You want to get the right tips. You got your own style of greeting people and everything. The idea of, you know, taking off the black comfortable shoes
and putting on heels for some women to go to an office, there's no way they're going to be happy.
It's a vibe too. Like restaurant life, it's hard if you are in the restaurant business to be married to someone or living with someone who isn't, because your days mm-hmm. and nights are often upside down. Mm-hmm. It's a lifestyle as much as it is a job. And I think like you're quoting Steve Van Zandt saying that, you know, the only place he belonged was in a rock band. I think that that's true for musicians and artists too. I think there are a lot of people, there are a lot of people that if life let them do it, they would try on a million costumes and do a gazillion different things. Just doesn't work out that way.
I have a wardrobe that is full of different costumes. Most of them need to be let out, but I'm just saying. I've done so many. I've done so many things all at the same time.
But where were you most comfortable?
On that unicycle, I think.
Listen, I'm not uncomfortable anywhere. I'm very comfortable here. I'm very comfortable here. Of course,
you've had an unusual.
It's been a weird deal here. It's been a weird deal, but whether I was videoing weddings or I've done all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. Right. All right. So,
we got morons in the news coming up. We're going to talk about the Super Bowl. We're all a little ragged like everybody else from staying up too late last night, because it is not yet a federal holiday to let us have today off from work. It's Bob and Sherry.
Leave us a talk back with the free Bob and Sherry app.
Sometimes there is just nothing better than a good long cry. And if you're having a Valentine's Day or maybe a Galentine's Day this year and you would like to have a tear-jerking movie marathon, the Scone Goddess and Maine Needhams want you to show yourself some love at bobandsherry.com. You can enter to win a me party box right now full of Bob and Sherry swag, a Netflix gift card, scones from the Scone Goddess, and a yummy Maine Needhams sampler pack. We have for you now the 10 best movies to watch on Valentine's Day if you want a good cry. Who's ready for this?
No, I'm begging you. I'm begging you, woman.
First on the list is a Japanese animation called Grave of the Fireflies, and it tells the story of the devastating impact of World War II on a pair of siblings in Japan, loss, resilience, and the human spirit in the harsh realities of war. Now, if you want to watch a movie that isn't subtitled, how about Manchester by the Sea, which came out 2016? Casey Affleck.
Yeah.
That's about a man who plays guardian to his 16-year-old nephew following his brother's death. And the whole tragedy pushes Casey Affleck to return to his hometown and confront his past. Oh, it's described as devastating, harrowing, and heart-wrenching. Let's go ahead and open up a new box of Kleenex.
Not only does he return to his hometown in New Hampshire, but they don't shoot it in the summer. They shot it in the dead of winter. It's gray. It's bleak. I mean, I love New Hampshire, but in January and February, it's a tough place to be. And that was the backdrop of that movie.
We're going to have such a good cry. Yay. Okay, then we have After Sun and The Green Mile. Who doesn't enjoy watching The Green Mile? Now, this next one, you have to be strong while you cry your way through this. It's Hatchie, A Dog's Tale. I'll give you the synopsis of that. Hatchie loves his owner and they're very, very good friends. And the dog walks the man to the train station every day. Waits for him to come home. And the man dies. And the dog waits at the train station every day until the dog dies.
Please stop. Oh my God. Kind of a sick mind comes up with these.
It's a true story.
It's a true story. Pixar's Coco. You may not realize that. Well, all Pixar movies make you cry. The movie Up rips your heart out of your chest and feeds it to wolves, right?
Right at the
Life is beautiful. The story of a father who does everything he can to disguise from his children the realities of life in a concentration camp. Or how about Bridge to Terabithia, which is a movie you took your elementary school daughters to see, not realizing that it was the saddest movie ever made and that their mental health would never recover. But enough about Olivia and Caramia. Dancer in the Dark and About Time. Those are the movies most likely to make you cry and sob and wail and bang your head on the pillow on the couch.
I am so happy you're doing this list.
But I have to say, listen, here's why a good cry is important. Because after you have a good cry, especially if it's at a movie and not something real that happened in your life, after you finish ugly crying over Hatchie the dog, your brain is going to do an oxytocin dump and you're going to be filled with the feel-good love hormone. That's why a good cry is so satisfying. Now, you don't pay a price for it.
I took Hampton to see. He didn't like going to the movies, but I thought, you know, he's 9 years old. I'm the new stepfather. Evidently, he was just not taken to movies. I go to the movies. I'm going to open that world up to him. And I took him to see Up, where the old man dies first 2 minutes. He and I are still, you know, not right. And I've heard that thing that, you know, the endorphins are released and all. Not after Up. I'm still waiting on that. Ed Asner.
Oh, God, Up. Oh, my God, that movie. But Hatchie the dog.
Oh, that one.
The former principal at my daughter's school gave me a hardcover copy of Hatchie the dog, just in case there was ever a day where I couldn't track it down on one of the streaming platforms. It just needed to be reminded.
Can I quickly tell you the saddest photograph that I have seen in the last 5 years, at least for me? Now, obviously, nothing to do with war. That's indescribable. But the original, you know, the TV show Lassie that was back in the 1950s, you know, early television here. I didn't realize this, but Timmy, who you and I met in California with the ugliest dog contest, he's all grown up now. I have a picture taken. There was an actor who played Lassie's boy prior to Timmy, and I saw it just popped up on my feed. I saw a picture of the moment that the boy who originally had Lassie is going off to school, and he's handing his dog over to Timmy, and the look on his face is just so filled with sadness. And even little Timmy is going, I don't know if I can handle this. Giving away your dog. This is one of the reasons I don't go to any movies that have dogs in them, because something could happen.
Stay away from Hatchie. Morons in the News is next. It's Bob and Sherry. Morons in the News is sponsored by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Bob and Sherry.
You see, that's all I could come up with because I'm an idiot.
With Morons in the News.
Oh, Florida, the land of alligators, beautiful beaches, and crazy criminal plots. The latest scheme involves Casey William Kelly. Allegedly, he made his own false banknote. In other words, a bank check. And went in and purchased a $140,000 Porsche 911 Turbo from a dealership. He is 42 years old, and according to authorities, he used his home computer and printer to copy and print a convincing-looking cashier's check. He is in jail because they went to cash the check, as they would do, and found out that it was bogus. Now, I must say, this guy's got some skills. If I tried to make a bank check, it would not look real. This one evidently looked real. And they handed him the keys as he handed them the phony check. It took about a day to track him down. They arrested him. He's sitting in jail right now. And this is not the first time he has come up with this scheme. He purchased $61,521 worth of Rolex watches 3 weeks prior to getting the Porsche. And phony checks once again. I'll say one thing. The guy has got taste. The guy has got some champagne taste. I'll give him that. But he is going to jail for alleged fraud.
here's what I like about the guy. If you're going to commit the crime, go big. I don't understand people that risk jail time for a cheeseburger. Buddy, go get you the Porsche. Yeah.
Yeah, and the watches. Yeah. Lamar? Yeah.
Two law enforcement agencies in Southern Ohio teamed up, and they caught a thief that stole 27 bags of ice from the Family Dollar. According to the Vinton County Sheriff's Office, deputies were contacted by Wilson Police to assist on a report that multiple bags of ice had been stolen from the Family Dollar. A pickup truck with the ice was spotted at a gas station in Wellston, 13 miles away. Police and deputies went to the gas station, surrounded the truck where the two people were detained, and they were later arrested. Justin Hopkins, 33, and Vicky Bauer, 44, were charged with theft and taken to the Southeastern Ohio Regional Jail. The store was in Vinton County, where Wilkesville, but the arrest took place in the neighboring county, so it took both police forces to bring these people to justice. The 27 bags of ice were returned to the Family Dollar. Hey, if you're needing ice in Wellston, Ohio, don't go to the Family Dollar. Their ice is already melted. It's been refroze. All you're going to get is a big block of ice, okay? Don't go there. Wait. Don't do it. Don't do it.
This is Sherry's example. They're going to do time for some ice.
Yeah, for
whereas
ice.
My Florida man got, at least he got a couple of days with a Porsche.
Yep.
Yeah,
yep,
if you're going to do it. I mean, go big, right? You're going to prison anyway. Have you guys noticed that we've had a lot of weird monkey news lately on the show?
Yeah.
I've been keeping track. But like, you know, a year or two goes by, there's not a single monkey story in the news, and suddenly it's monkeys everywhere. Well, we have a monkey who escaped from a wildlife park in Scotland and was apprehended because it was stuffing its face with peanuts that somebody had in their bird feeder, which is deeply relatable. And today's moron of the day is a truck on a Nevada highway that overturned and covered the entire highway in Dr. Pepper.
Whoa.
Gallons, rivers of Dr. Pepper. It caused multiple minor crashes in the area because nobody was expecting to have to drive through a lake of Dr. Pepper. Not to mention all the crates and cans and bottles and everything else that was smashed along the road. And when you see the pictures, you're like, wow, looks like somebody wanted to be a pepper too. And it's in the part of Nevada where there's snow. So you can see the Dr. Pepper staining the snow, freezing up on the road. Total disaster. It's been a weird one. We've got loose monkeys everywhere. We've got trucks overturning. We're in the wrong timeline. We're going to get it all posted up on the Bob and Sherry Facebook. We've got comedian Wally Commons coming up. The ultimate catfish Ponzi scheme fraud dude is going to prison. And let's talk Super Bowl straight ahead. It's Bob and Sherry.
Bring whatever you drink and celebrate happy hour Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern. Live on the Bob and Sherry Facebook page.
There's this residential building in the Boston, in the Back Bay area of Boston, called the Four Seasons One Dalton. And yes, it's part of the Four Seasons Hotel properties. So they have a 338 square foot apartment inside this building that they're selling for $900,000. 338 square feet. The developer said that these micro-size apartments were intended for the ultra wealthy in case they needed a place to store a mother-in-law or a nanny or their shoe collection. Let that sit for a second. It's 338 square feet. It's so tiny. But, you know, you've got to put your mother-in-law in your shoes somewhere. So originally, it was not going to be marketed to the general public. The people who already own properties in that building, it was just for them. And these little studios, they have windows. They have like a little kitchen and a tiny bathroom. I mean, they're itsy bitsy. Like if you're washing dishes at the kitchen sink and you turn around, you'll put somebody's eye out who's sitting on the bed. It's that small, right?
So it sounds like it's about the size of a mid-priced hotel room.
338 square feet. It looks like it's a little bit smaller than that. Word got out that you could have this for $900,000. And there was a demand for it. And so they're selling it to the public now. And the developer says, yeah, it's really small. We admit it's really, really small. And yes, one of these studios has already been purchased and it's a shoe closet for the owner. But if you buy this $900,000 shoebox, literally, you'll have access to all of the building's amenities, a pet wash space, a coffee bar, a gym. So there you are. You're living in a closet, but you're hanging out with your betters.
The
for
idea
nearly
that
$1 million.
Yeah, somebody has an apartment for just his or her shoes is just so over the top and wrong.
Isn't that insane? It's
totally.
Bob and Sherry.
Use the Talk Back feature.
Talk Back feature
on the free Bob and Sherry app and leave us a message.
You guys, the way I was completely out of my mind watching an actual football game last night, my husband fell asleep and I'm on the edge of the couch going, get him, knock him down. Oh, interception. Oh, fumble. Who am I? Usually I'm only paying attention to the commercials, and I have to say, my favorite was the Ben Affleck Dunkin's commercial.
Oh, yeah.
Discuss.
That was a good one. Yeah. I like the Arnold State Farm commercial, too. So I thought that was clever.
Let's do the Dunkin's.
I don't think you should do this.
Watch and learn.
He's here.
Affleck on the track.
What up, Bronx? Here come the Dunkin's.
My partner.
It's really hard to be your friend, man.
Dunkin's!
Don't go away. My heart.
How do you like them donuts? I'm so sorry.
What track are we?
We talked about this.
Two words. Dunkin's iced coffee.
You have to give it
to him. Yeah, you have to give it to Affleck, though. I mean, he hung himself out there and really committed to it.
So
it
you mentioned the State Farm Arnold commercial. I'll just play this.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Agent State Farm.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Cut. Hey, Arnold, I'm hearing neighbor. It's neighbor.
That's what I said. Neighbor.
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 Let's go again.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Cut.
Now what?
It's neighbor.
Neighbor.
Cut.
Neighbor.
Yeah, neighbor. Just like it's written on a paper.
This lady's in labor. Cut.
Look at this. This is labor. Like a good neighbor. That was the sheep. And you know it.
It's like you're cold.
I'm cold. Bah. Neighbor.
Still no.
Like a good neighbor.
Cut.
Burr. Bah. Burr. Bah. Burr. Bah.
Neighbor.
Neighbor.
Burr.
Bah.
Burr. Bah. Get me out of this chopper.
It's pronounced chopper.
Don't.
It is.
A little bit more concealer.
State Farm.
Hey, Arnold. It's got a bit of a script change.
State Farm liked it so much they played it twice, actually. I think they ran that spot twice.
My favorite was the Christopher Walken BMW commercial.
That was hilarious.
Nice ride.
It's the real deal. 100% electric.
It's the real deal.
Yeah. Thank you.
Of course. Enjoy your coffee. Careful, it's hot.
Thanks.
Your dog's so cute.
Mm, yeah.
Ooh, so adorable. Yeah, wow.
Yeah. Right. You both know
it's the man. Makes the clothes.
You know, you look nice.
Okay. With that?
Hello, Mr. Walken. Does this table work for you?
Yeah.
Did someone say yeah?
Don't you got somewhere to be?
Yeah.
There's only one Christopher Walken and only one ultimate driving machine. The rest are just imitations.
Come on.
Is he the new Shatner? Is he going to take over where Shatner left off with self-parody?
I had to wake Kevin up and say, what does this mean, overtime? Is it sudden death overtime, or did they just play till the clock runs out? Because I didn't understand that. Then I saw it on the screen. Field goal extends, touchdown wins. I was beside myself.
It's a little different than a regular season game, how they go about it.
Yeah, yeah. And here's the thing. Like, I felt so sad for the 49ers, especially because, Bob, I felt like we could relate so much to their quarterback, whose nickname was Mr. Irrelevant. Like, I so related to him in every way. But, I'm Team Kansas City Chiefs. I had to see my Chiefs.
I thought the game in the first half was kind of a little on the dull side. You know, I mean, it was a standoff for the most part, and there wasn't much going on. But it did become an exciting game toward the end. There's no way to deny
Oh, my
that.
God. Overtime. Let's pause here and stick around. We've got a bunch of the musical performances from the Super Bowl. It's Bob and Sherry.
Bring whatever you drink and celebrate happy hour Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern. Live on the Bob and Sherry Facebook page.
This is the Bob and Sherry Show, where America comes for analysis of NFL football, ladies and gentlemen. So just before we toss it to Max, he has a compilation of some of the better moments, some of the great moments of the musical presentations with the Super Bowl. Just before we get there, I counted 12 times they went to Taylor Swift. Was I about on that?
I didn't keep count. No, I didn't keep count because, believe it or not, I was watching the game. Like an alien is inside my body. I was watching a football game, and I was watching that football game with Kevin. So I had to translate every non-football thing to him, starting with Post Malone. Kevin wanted to know if those were his real teeth or a pop-out grill.
Did he ask about the tattoos?
Yes. Are those permanent tattoos on his face? And who is this person? I was like, dude, that's Post Malone. I loved what he did with the song. And then I had time to go in the kitchen to get another helping of my Taylor Tots, because he did know who Reba McEntire was. And yes, Reba, you sing that national anthem, Queen.
You just see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleam, whose watch stars through the perilous fight, through the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly
stood. Just so beautiful. Not a bunch of theatrics, you know?
Yeah.
Not a bunch of melodrama, just a beautiful, heartfelt.
I was surprised version. She was the pick. I mean, I'd like her, but I was, you know, just based on past performances where everybody tries to go over the top, I was a little surprised it was Reba. But
that was nice. But it kind of, you know, the tone was kind of set with Andrew Day and then Post Malone and then Reba. So now it's halftime. Now, I really enjoyed the halftime show, right?
Ooh,
and I was like, I was like, oh, yes. Oh, my God. It came to life for me the minute Alicia Keys appeared. How do you not get goosebumps? Oh, yes. And I just want to say, Usher, I haven't seen those kind of sequin pantsuits since my Aunt Barbara was going to Atlantic City. I loved it. The choreography, the costume changes, most
roller
of the
skate.
Best performances. Yeah, the roller skates.
Roller skating, that was very impressive.
My God. I didn't
that
know
was really was impressive. I agree with you.
Hey, guys, I had some real splaining to do to the husband. He's like, who is this? Has anybody heard of this guy? Debbie. Some of us.
That's all right. I had a friend say this made him feel old, and I said it would have made you feel 20 years ago when these were hits.
Well, speaking of old, I want to give a nod to Las Vegas and the NFL for the pregame production they did with the song "My Way."
And oh my God, tears! Players,
yeah, you see the faces of the players that went through all of that to get to this place. And it just worked, because it worked for the players. Sinatra was so tied image-wise to Las Vegas, and you know, the game is played in Vegas. So the whole thing just came together really nicely, I thought, with the pregame thing.
And the orchestra, it was so moving.
Yeah, beautiful.
And then my man Travis, like, wiping tears off his face. Oh. So, from a football perspective, Max, I'll ask you, because you're my big NFL guy in the room. That was a good game, right? That was an exciting game. That was a good game.
So the guy I was sitting with, the first half was boring, and he said, "Well, this is kind of a boring half." I said, "This second half is going to rock. I guarantee it. I just knew that was going to happen. You just could feel that was going to happen."
That's right.
You guys, that 49er player that popped his Achilles just walking out onto the field,
right?
Like him and Mr. Irrelevant. I was like, "Oh God, Bob. We're pulling for the wrong team." All right, we got Wally Collins next. Everyone needs a laugh. Congratulations, Chiefs Kingdom! And Taylor's boyfriend, it's Bob and Sherry.
Everyone Needs a Laugh is sponsored by Nissan.
It's time for Everyone Needs a Laugh. Here is comedian Wally Collins.
I don't drink. I'm not a drinker. You know what? I tell people I don't drink. People automatically think something bad happened in my life, because I don't drink alcohol. They say, "Hey man, you're funny. Let me buy you a drink." I'm like, "No, thanks. I don't drink." They go, "Oh." But then they want to get in my business. Like, "So, you're an alcoholic? That's the problem." I'm like, "No, I don't like the taste of alcohol." "Oh, you don't like the taste? Oh, okay." "Drinking and driving? That's the problem, drinking and driving?" I'm like, "No, I really don't see the point of drinking, to be honest." "Oh, you don't see the point? Oh." "Did you kill somebody drinking and driving?" I tried to drink my freshman year in college. The first drop of alcohol ever touched my lips was Mad Dog 2020. Anyone who had a reaction to what I just said had Mad Dog 2020, right? He went, "Oh." That again? For those who don't know what it is, man, it's very cheap wine, liquor, alcohol, what are we going to call it, man? It costs about 14 cents a gallon. And it tastes like sweet gasoline. You can put it in your car. Your car will go about 3 miles. What flavor did you have? It was in a gas station? You drink gas? What are you trying to say? The gas thing was a cold drink section? No, you gotta go inside the place. This fuel is delicious. Yeah, I had a purple. That's when, So here, okay, so this is the thing. So I'm at this party, whatever, right? Freshman year, right? And my friends come up to me and say, "Hey, man, take a sip of this." I took a sip. I'm like, "I don't want that." And here's the selling point to drinking. They said to me, "Nah, man, you got to drink some more. You got to learn to like it." I don't understand that thinking. I always thought if you like something, you'll know it immediately. Learn to like something, that's brainwashing yourself, man. If you think like that, you can learn to like anything. Anything. You can learn like smacking yourself in the head with a hammer. You can learn to like that eventually. All right, the first couple of weeks you'd be like, "Ow." But after like 6 months, now you gotta try to convince your friends. No, you have to learn to like it. Here comes the chaser. But I hang out my drinking friends. Who drinks? Round of applause. Who drinks in here? Drinkers, where are you? Drinkers, clap. All right, everyone's looking around like, I'm not gonna admit it. We're in Utah, no. That one brave guy over here, okay, I'll do it, yeah. One time I did, yeah, one time. It was that Mad Dog, and you guys. These are your faces, man. Who drinks? Ooh, I have laces. But it tripped me out, man. You guys are like, never heard of it. What is this again? Drink alcohol. Let me Google that. I'm not sure. We do, man. I go to bars and clubs and people are having a good time and fun. But then your drinkers lose your minds when you hear that one word, shots. Yeah, you know, small alcohol, but it gets the most attention. People get very excited about it, too. We're going to do shots. We're going to do shots. Women, too. Stephanie, what? We're doing shots. What? And then you got to confirm it. You're going to do it. You're going to do it, right? I won't do it. You're going to do it. You're going to do it. I won't do it if you don't do it. You're going to do it, right? You're going to do it. You're going to do it. I'll do it if you do it. You're going to do it. I'm going to do it. One, two, three, and we're going to do it. Not one, two. One, two, three. You're going to do it? Okay. I'm going to do it. You ever actually watch someone do a shot? They're like, okay, here we go. Ready? One, two, three. Yeah! I look at them, I'm like, I'm not doing that. My father drank, boy. Yeah, come on, drink straight scotch. Yeah, that was his thing, scotch, man. And he would say, you know, had to take the edge off. That's what he would say. I run up to him. I'm like, Dad, Dad. He's like, hold on, hold on. I got to take the edge off. He look at me and go, oh, still there.
I love that last line.
That is comedian Wally Collins. And we'll get that posted up at BOBANDSHERI.com. Click the menu tab. Look for Everyone Needs a Laugh. This is Bob and Sherry.
It's the stuff we wouldn't, couldn't, shouldn't do on the regular show. The Oddcast. Oddcast on the free Bob and Sherry app.
Oh, Valentine's Day, right around the corner. A couple of days. Did you get your lover a fantastic gift yet, guys? Well, you better hustle on this. Maybe you could get quick delivery. Here's what it is, and I think she'll love it. The Chuck E. Cheese cookbook. Yeah, bet she doesn't have that. Bet she doesn't. The original pizza rat, Chuck E. Cheese, releasing a cookbook. The mascot of the chain of family-friendly restaurants that we all suffered through if we had kids with the arcade, is coming out with Chuck E. Cheese and Friends Party Cookbook. It features all their characters and recipes, mummy dogs to cinnamon rolls, and a dozen different pizza-related ideas. There are also games, jokes, and what woman wouldn't love to just sit down with a Chuck E. Cheese book of jokes? I think that this is just a really big winner for everybody out there. It's available right now at Amazon, Target, Walmart. Yeah, you could go to any of those places.
I just hope these recipes also include serving instructions, like have a really surly attitude and an exhausted look on your face because you work at Chuck E. Cheese.
Hey, but here's the good thing. You don't have to go to a Chuck E. Cheese to get it. You can get it somewhere else. And if you have a kid, if you get anywhere near one, you know you're going in there and they're trying to get that eraser, which ends up costing you about $18 with the tickets.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Chuck E. Cheese. Well, you know, good luck to them. I'm surprised they're still rolling, but they are. Because parents have got to take those kids somewhere when it's a rainy day, right? And there's a birthday going on. Chuck E. Cheese, get it at Target, Walmart, and Amazon. It's Bob and Sherry.
Instant access to the podcast, Oddcast, Fun Size, and more with the free Bob and Sherry app.
Talk back time. If you have our app, it's free in Google Play and the Apple Store, and you can listen to the show and all of our podcasts and enter contests and do all sorts of cool stuff with it. There's a little microphone in the bottom center of the screen. If you tap it and talk, the app will send your message flying through the air right to us. Or we can be old school. We have a phone. We leave it turned on 24/7. And that number is 844 844- 52SHERI.
Hi, guys. This is Angela calling from Spartanburg. I was just listening to Lamar's report on the proposal for the monkey breeding farm in Bainbridge, Georgia. And you know I love y'all. I love Lamar especially. But I'll just be honest with you. I was very disappointed. Lamar said that the protesters were holding up signs that read, "Stop the monkey farm." And Lamar, you're pretty quick on your feet. And I thought you would have immediately picked up on this. Wouldn't the obvious choice be for the signs to have read, "Stop the monkey business"?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. That's very true. Hey, buddy, you missed that one. She's right.
Boy, I left money on the table.
Well, we all did.
Yeah. Well, some of those well, to be fair, the monkey protesters missed it too, Lamar. It wasn't just.
That's true.
I know, but I'm supposed to know better. I am so sorry to disappoint you. I really am. In fact, maybe you can become my joke writer.
Are you talking to the listener or your wife right now? I can't tell.
I know. Just another one. I'm disappointed.
Exactly.
Look how easily he slid right into, "I'm so sorry I disappointed you." It's almost like he's had practice at it.
Yes. That's what I got out of that too. That's exactly right.
That's not the first time I've uttered those words.
Right.
We have another
What can I do?
We have another one.
Good morning, Bob, Sherry, and the crew. You guys are my breakfast every day. You guys are the best. And your content is amazing. Every day I look forward to what you guys have to talk about. But we're going back to what Bob was talking about with leaving the lights on, the TVs on. And I am one of those people. And I believe it is to make you feel like there's more people around. Like the house is busier. The house is brighter. And it feels more active. I am guilty of that. And I get home, it's not even dark out, I have every light on, I have all the TVs on, and it just makes the house feel more busy. So that's my input on it, and I also know others who say the same thing, and yes, very wasteful, but just wanted to give you my input on that. I hope you guys all have a great day, and love you all. Keep doing what you're doing. You're the best.
I'm so sad. It's like he lives alone and he's making it into a world where there are other people living with him.
But don't be sad because he's found the workaround. He wasn't sad. He didn't
I don't disagree. I don't disagree because if we go on vacation, you know, you shut the lights off, you cut the heat down or whatever, you come home and everything is just sort of desolate. You know? I do like the idea of some lights on. I like the idea of walking in. I like it. I like things to be bright. So I'm agreeing with him on that, especially with LED lights.
Are you
now,
saying
it
though?
Cost anything.
Are you saying that you didn't get the feeling that maybe there's something like half of America now lives alone? So he's not the only one. But did you not get the feeling that maybe the guy was kind of out there, in a little house somewhere, not near another house, and there's nobody else in the house, and he's kind of lonely, and he's just setting this up?
I didn't get a sad vibe.
I got a very relaxed vibe. Very
okay,
cool.
Okay, good.
Very cool.
Yeah. I want him. He sounds like a nice person.
Now, I don't care about the TV being on. Kev leaves it on for the cats, but I don't care about the TV. I don't like a dark house, and there are lights on all over my house all the time, and it makes him crazy. He's like you. Why do we have the lights on? Because I don't want to be in a dark house, Boo Radley. I would like to have some warmth and a little puddle of golden light as I move from room to room. I don't want to have to navigate with the flashlight on my phone to get to the bathroom.
No, I agree with you. I'm the one in our house who puts the lights on. And one day Mary said, one of the things I like about you, I never think about it. And I could be, with one light on, looking at TikTok or whatever. But then I go into the living room and the lights are on and it's nice and warm feeling. And I like that you do that. That is my job. But I'm not leaving them on during the daytime. No, they don't need to be on in the daytime. You leave them on in the daytime, Sherry?
Well, no, because in the daytime I have daylight. But at night, to just be like in one room, oh my God, with an overhead light. I'm sorry. Is this a 1940s film noir and you're interrogating me? Turn that off. And
Right.
All right, coming up. Ooh, just in time for Valentine's Day. It's a catfish. It's a Ponzi scheme. It is a breathtaking online love fraud case. We got that for you. It's Bob and Sherry.
Bring whatever you drink and celebrate happy hour Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern live on the Bob and Sherry Facebook page.
My daughter Landon has two kids. If you're a regular listener, you know that. There's Kristen and there's Elle. He is 4 and she is 2. And Landon was telling me about this website that she goes to called Little Things. And it's ideas of things you can do with kids, new things to entertain them and new ideas for them to grow. And so I went over there just to see if there's something I could find for the show. And I found acts of kindness for kids to do at home, school, or in the community. And I read 5 down. The 5th one down made me so sad. It just made me sad. And it's this. Here's the act of kindness. Play with a new classmate who doesn't know anyone and doesn't have anyone to play with or eat lunch with. I have never done that. I have never done that because I was always the new kid. We moved so much.
Did people do that for you? Did you have kids who reached out to you like that?
I don't remember that. That's what I was thinking about. I don't remember one kid coming over and saying, "Hey, you're Bobby. How are you? I'm Gil." I don't know anyone named Gil, but I'm Gil. And why don't you come over here and sit with Brad and me? I don't remember that happening. I just remember kids staring at me. This is basically the opening premise for Mean Girls, both the musical that's out now and the original, right? She walks through the cafeteria and everybody's staring at her. And she's not allowed to sit down with the queen bees. But no, I hated it so much. I think that's what turned me from being a pretty good student to being one that was not a happy boy, always showing up and being the new kid. It's just so awkward because you don't have the social skills, you know?
But, you know, I had that experience too as a kid because my parents were also unable
on the run.
unable to really stay in one place for too long.
Yeah.
So when my girls were little, that was one of the things that like I drilled into them, like be the first person to make a friend.
Right.
Because it's so hard. And they, you know what? They were both pretty good about that, especially my youngest. Mm-hmm.
I could never see somebody sit alone. I couldn't do it. I got to go talk. Yeah. As a kid.
You can remember that.
Yeah, as a kid, I made a point for whatever reason. I don't know why. I would play with the kid that nobody else would play with because it just didn't seem right. I mean, I don't know.
I think there's another reason. I think all of your other friends, because you talked so much, all of your other friends were just worn out. And the new kid comes in and it's fresh meat for you. And you're over there.
He hadn't heard not one of my stories. He had not heard one of my stories.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. Worst.
I just think it feels so. I always put myself in their place though, and I'm like, guys, it's got to be.
That is so nice. Crappy. That is so nice of you to do that. I mean, seriously, that shows real depth as a kid. Kindness.
I don't know about all that, but. And the thing is, I had a pretty good sized friend group. And so if I would befriend this kid, it would sort of bring him in. You know what I'm saying? I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't like just me and him because I got, you know.
Right.
So I don't know. Anybody that's like a stray dog, I just don't want to.
That's great. Yeah. Do you do that now as an adult?
Yeah. If I'm somewhere and I see somebody, I mean, if I see somebody that looks like they're out of place or something, listen, if I see somebody looking for something, looking around, mm-hmm. I say, can I help you find, you know, can I help you or show you direction or whatever? I don't know. I just, I don't like for people to have, because I know it's awkward. I know it's awkward for people. It's not awkward for me to walk up to somebody. So, you know.
Well, I live where there are a lot of tourists, and I have to admit, if I'm out walking the dog and they look confused and they don't know where they are, I love it when they ask for directions. I just love being the guy that says, well, you want to go down to the end of this street, you see the stop sign, you take a right, then just keep going past the tennis court on your left over there, and pretty soon you'll look up and you'll see some boat masts, and there you are, right there at the marina. I love doing that. I don't know why.
Yeah. Because it feels like you helped somebody.
Yeah, and I think it also gives me a feeling like I belong somewhere, right? We move so much, you know, I've been so transient.
Yeah, anyway, you know your way.
Yeah, you know your way. It's Bob and Sherry. Can You Believe This is sponsored by Avatar, The Last Airbender, on Netflix, February 22nd.
You read it once.
I don't believe that.
And then you read it again.
I can't believe this.
It's Bob and Sherry's
Believe This Shit.
It's true crime time. You know what a catfish is? Somebody that poses to be someone they're not online to lure you into a relationship. And you know what a Ponzi scheme is, right? That's when someone sets up an investment and instead of actually investing your money, they pay you off with the money they take from the next sucker to come in, and so on until the whole thing implodes. Like that's what happened to Bernie Madoff. Well, today's lover boy is a con man who was both a catfish and a Ponzi scheme. His name is Kieran McNamara. He's 37 years old and he lives in the UK. And what he would do is he would select his victims either online, social media, or he'd hang out in the like bars at very, very, very expensive, exclusive hotels. And after he would choose his victims, and he's a good looking guy, and he dressed himself like to fit the part, right? So after he would choose his victims, he would begin the catfishing. He would convince these women that he was this successful tycoon businessman with a giant portfolio of like investment properties all across Europe. And he would share pictures of himself hanging out in big fancy mansions in like London, pictures of him traveling first class all around the world, staying at the best hotels. He would love bomb these women with gifts and weekends away and take them out for expensive meals. But now you have to remember, here's the catch. His victims were always wealthy women. He always targeted wealthy women. And that's where the Ponzi scheme part of this catfish comes in. He would take money from one woman to fund his lifestyle with the next woman. And his MO was like this. He was so patient. Man, he would bait the hook and he would lure these women in so slow. And then once they were pretty well committed, oh, it's a crisis. He's having issues with his banking team. And he's just in a pinch. And of course, these women would float him a loan. And if any of them ever questioned it, he would turn on them. I thought we had something real. I thought we trusted and understood each other. Look at everything I've done with you and given you, and look at all the places I've taken you. And sure enough, the women would fork it over. I'm talking in one 12-month period, he got four women to hand over more than $500,000.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah. And of course, he had multiple aliases. You know, his real name is Kieran, but He would be Miles, or he would be Eric, or he would be Ethan, whatever. Four women in one 12-month period, more than $500,000. Well, he got busted because eventually these guys do. And it turns out that Chris, he wasn't at all, of course, the person that he said he was to these women. And charges were pressed and he was taken to court and he is going to prison for 7 years for what he did. Because these women came forward. Oh, it is. You know, it's going to be on Netflix.
Yeah.
7 years. So, I mean, we've seen some really creative catfishing and some really insane catfishing. Like, who was the athlete, the pro athlete that got catfished? We were just talking about
this
a few weeks ago. Thank you.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean,
that's
right. We have seen some nutty catfishing. I don't know that I've ever seen a Ponzi scheme tied to catfishing that was this big. When cops raided a storage unit that he was renting, they found like $30,000 worth of Burberry designer coats and scarves and stuff from Gucci and really, really expensive golf clubs. I mean, he was just racking it up with these women, and all the gifts they gave him went into that storage unit, and all the gifts he gave them were paid for with the money he took from the victim that came before them.
It's really genius, so, if you think about it.
It's diabolical. So
diabolical genius,
You have to be careful all the time, but be careful during Love Month because there's so much pressure on us in the month of February to be coupled up that you might feel like, oh my God, I got to at least give this person a chance. Do your research and investigate before you give anybody anything when you meet them online. It's Bob and Sherry.
True. Weird. Stuff.
Is reincarnation real? James Leininger said that in a previous life, he was a Navy pilot whose plane was shot down during World War II. Ryan Hammonds remembered his former life as actor Marty Martin. Boryska Kiprianovich claimed he was a Martian who was reborn as a human. Researchers have spent decades studying the one thing they have in common. All three believe their soul was reincarnated and could describe their past lives in great detail.
True. Weird. Stuff.
New episodes drop every Friday, everywhere you get your podcasts.
It's the stuff we wouldn't, couldn't, shouldn't do on the regular show. The Oddcast. Oddcast on the free Bob and Sherry app.
What a crazy story, and actually a scary story. Doctors believe that the 71-year-old man from the Canary Islands may have caught a rare bug from being licked by his chihuahua. The man, the man with Hale spent 3 weeks in hospital and was given an oxygen mask to help him to breathe. Eventually, he developed sepsis and as a reaction to the infection, which can be deadly. But before seeking help, the patient had suffered days of diarrhea and a high fever. It took him a week to go to the hospital, and doctors said, by which point he was short of breath, coughing up yellow mucus. And he's a former smoker. He had type 2 diabetes. He had high blood pressure and lung disease. He was diagnosed with pneumonia complicated by septic shock and given an oxygen mask to regulate his breathing. The man told doctors he had not been scratched or bitten by his dog, but blood tests revealed he had contracted Pasteurella multocida, which is a bacteria commonly found in dogs' mouths. Medics said sharing a bed with the dog and letting them lick you and kissing them are risk behaviors. And he said he had been, you know, in the bed with his dog and they'd been close or whatever. But babies and the elderly are high risk of being affected by this pneumonia, but anybody can catch it. But did you think about you could catch it from your dog?
You know what the dachshund is saying? That might have happened, but the guy had some real issues prior to me.
Yeah. You know, but they definitely traced it back to that bacteria that comes from a dog's mouth. I'm keeping my eye on Darby at this point. I'm not so sure. I've been getting a lot of kisses, but I'm not doing it anymore.
When he said, yeah, I've been in bed with the dog and we've been close, that was uncomfortable for me. I'm not going to lie.
Me too. Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah.
Well, he did survive and everything's good. This is Bob and Sherry.
I was just thinking the other day, you know what one of the most unusual relationships is? The frenemy. Most of us have had one or maybe more in our life. And it's interesting that we don't totally get rid of that person, but when they show up, whether it's at a social situation or whatever it may be, there's something that's in the air. There's some look in this person's face that you know, I don't think you have my best interests at heart. But they're friendly, and you're friendly with them. And the relationship very often goes on and on for years and years. And I have one of these people. And I can't figure out why I'm having anything to do with them. Here's the situation. I get together every couple of years with some friends in Connecticut. And most of us were in high school together. A couple of them I've known, like my friend Peter, I've known since I was in elementary school. And we get together and we have Pepe's Pizza and, you know, it's fun. There's this one guy and he doesn't show up for every one of the get-togethers, but maybe every other one. So I don't see him very often. He and I go way back. And so we'll be talking, the conversation will be going on and somebody will say, so how long have you and Sherry been together? And I'll say, well, it's been a long, long time. It's my longest relationship with a woman, you know, and everybody laughs. And it shows to the group that somebody is listening from my past to the radio show, which is, you know, warms my heart, very complimentary. Invariably, my frenemy at one point will say, you know, when I go by this part of Providence, Rhode Island, if I'm going through it, doing a sales call, I look over and I see the company you used to work for where, what was it you did? You used to pick up dead rats, you know, at farms. So I guess I've told the story on the air. I was like an exterminator's helper and, you know, they would put poison out and rats would die on farms. And my job, 19 years old, going and picking up, well, everybody else was in college. Their parents were paying for it and all. And that's what I'm doing, saving money for college. And, the first time I was cool with it, but I've noticed that he brings that story up, that part of my life up, virtually every time there's a get together and he's there. And I have to figure out a way, I don't know how I want to handle it, where I send a message and the message is not going to be, don't bring up that story. Because I have, you know, I've done worse things than that for a buck, believe me. That was a good company that I was working for. I just don't want to enter. I don't want to engage him anymore in any way, shape, or form. And I'm thinking that the only way to do it is the cold shoulder. Have you ever had a situation like this? I think the cold shoulder during conversation is really the only way to shut the guy down, to take myself away from the situation.
And you're all, every few years, you're going to come in contact with this guy.
Usually, yeah. Like, it's probably every 4 years that we're face to face.
I would probably just endure it every 4 years.
No. Here's what
I'm so tired of it, Mac. I hear what you're saying, and that's what I've been doing. But I've had it right about up to here with this guy. Because, well, you know, I've had an interesting life and continue to, and an interesting career. And okay, we could look back, you know, when I was struggling, that's fine. A lot of people have been through things like that. Most of us, but that is the one thing that he just seems to want to knock me down a peg with that.
He can't knock you down if you take the power away. The next time I'm around him, if I'm you, the next time I'm around him and conversation starts, I start the conversation by saying, man, back when I used to pick up dead rats, blah, 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 and then take on.
That's it.
And then you take it away. Take the power away. Take the power
away.
That's
a great idea.
I mean, yeah, own it. Own it. Man, until you've picked up a dead rat, you've not lived. I mean, take the power away. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, just figure out a way to work that into the it couldn't be that hard to work that into the conversation, you know?
No.
Because everybody's there. We all know each other. For decades.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh yeah.
So everybody's looking back, you know, it's a nostalgia town. Look, that should be pretty easy. That's a very good idea. I may do that.
He may really be committed to it, the Bob, and then say, yeah. And remember when you worked at Knobby Crafters?
You know, you're right. You're right. The plastics factory.
I can't help you with everything, Bob. I can't help you with everything.
I got about 10 of those jobs, baby. It wasn't easy. That's right. It's Bob and Sherry.
Instant access to the podcast, and fun side. Just download the free Bob and Sherry app.
Welcome to the Bob and Sherry Show. Sherry is taking care of the sheriff right now. He's had a challenging year. He's going to be fine. We're sending teachers to Florida this summer to stay at the Margaritaville Beach Resort in Fort Myers Beach. What a place. Nominate a teacher at bobandsherry.com to win a vacation from Visit Florida. If you're just joining us now, we were just talking about frenemies. And what an interesting relationship that is. And I think just about everybody, at least at one point in your life, has had a frenemy. And I was talking about one that I deal with all the time, who always likes to recall in front of everybody that I'm with difficult times that I had. And Lamar and I, during the song, were talking about the fact that he believes there's one place where there are more frenemies than any other place, right?
Oh, it's at the workplace. I mean, because... Yeah. It's the perfect place for frenemies because you have to get along with people at work. You don't necessarily have to love everybody and they don't have to love you, but you have to get along and you have to be civil. But there's always that underlying thing. And I had a guy years ago and we were dead on frenemies. Oh, buddy, because he loved to just bring up anything to try to put you down. And so I had been calling the show, you know, and it was got syndicated and we picked up a sponsor and I was doing a commercial for some guy. I don't know, whatever it was. I was doing a commercial. It was my first commercial. I was very excited about it. I mean, you know,
right.
And so I go into work and he comes in and he says, I was coming to work this morning. So I was listening to the show and he said, I heard your commercial. I said, oh, really? And he goes, yeah, I thought about it. You know, I listened to it. He said, I got to be honest, though, it really wasn't that good. I mean,
said that?
Yeah, he said, it just didn't grab me. And I said, oh, I understand. I said, tell you what, as soon as you do a commercial on a syndicated radio station, then you can do it in a whole nother way, okay? And that was the end of that conversation. And we didn't talk that no more.
Did he challenge you in other ways though?
Before this ever happened, everybody knows the story of the video store fiasco. Okay. Bankrupt right. Video store. Okay. So he's riding with me one day in the truck. I'm on my route. He's riding with me and he says, he starts asking me about the video store, about the, you know, the collapse and all that. He goes, man, that's tough. He said, what's it like to know that when your kids get old enough for a car, you're not going to be able to buy them a car.
Oh.
And they probably won't ever go to college. He said, Kai, that's tough, isn't it? I said, yeah, it's tough. I said, I'm not too worried about that. I said, I'm pretty sure that we'll figure that out. I said, but I tell you what's worse than that. I said, worse than that is being in my old age and sitting on a porch and thinking about, I wish I'd have had the guts to take a chance and go into some business, but I was too scared. And then I've always got to wonder, what if I had? I said, I'd lots rather worry about what I did than what I didn't do. The rest of the day was a silent ride. We rode in silence the rest of the day.
Why is it? I can't come up with that in the moment. I was in a social situation, and I was talking to a woman, and the woman was asking me about some stuff that I've done in acting. Okay, now, I'm no roaring success as an actor. You know, I've done some local theater. I've done some national TV commercials. I've done some things. But anyhow, she was very interested. He overheard this, right? And after she left, he said, but we should really give up on you making it as an actor, right? And I was so... it was like somebody punched me in the stomach. I couldn't come back with, well, I don't know. What have you acted in? You know? See, you're sharp like that. I'm too wounded by it in the moment to come up with something clever.
I think most people are.
I would immediately said, sort of like you've given up on being a decent human being? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that would be great. Yeah. See, that would have been great. That would have been perfect.
Yeah.
But I think it was because I was talking to a woman, and there was a woman who was interested in what it was that I was talking about. And he was jealous of that.
Exactly. Exactly.
Listen, I'm guilty of this. If I smell a slight coming, if I smell a dig, if I smell an insult, if I smell it coming, even while it's coming, I'm thinking. I'm thinking to myself, oh, if, you know, I'm, I, you know, I've already, by the time they finish the last syllable, I'm already knowing, because I'm already thinking about it. I just don't know.
I'm kind of like Max. That sounds like a really tense way to go through a party.
I just...
Well, I don't get that many slights.
Here's
I mean,
the worst thing. I would probably come back with something, but it wouldn't make any sense, you know? And then I would look stupid on top of everything. Yeah. So.
It's a tricky situation. It really is. It's Bob and Sherry.
Now, let's open up the Bob and Sherry Archive Vault.
I was Googling around looking at goofy Valentine's Day cards. A couple of them made me laugh so hard, but I can't repeat. I can't repeat what they said.
They're that good.
They're that good, yeah. But here you go. This is one that you could write on the inside of your card. And Bob, I think this is one that you should put on the inside of Mary's card.
Okay, what is it?
It's from the poet Elizabeth Barrett Browning. I love you not only for what you are, but for what I am when I am with you. I love you not only for what you have made of yourself, but for what you are making of me. I love you for every part of me that you bring out.
That is so sweet.
Don't you think that would be
that is
really...
so great. And this is so great, helping guys out, because there is nothing more pathetic than seeing a man in the supermarket card aisle trying to find, all the good ones have been picked, trying to find a card at 6 p.m. on Valentine's
Looking
Day.
Looking sweaty and disheveled and panicky.
Yes. So listen, at least this will help you with what goes in the card. Go.
The author of The Little Prince, whose name I'm about to butcher, Antoine de Saint-Exupéry. Life has taught us that love does not consist in gazing at each other, but in looking outward at the same direction.
Yes, very nice. It's true. I don't know if it works that great on Valentine's Day, but it is true.
It is true. Yeah. If you
because my wife would then say, you don't want to gaze at me? I'm hideous. You think I'm hideous? And she's beautiful.
Maybe you could put the Barrett Browning and that in the card together. You'll need one of the big cards that costs $30.
This can be a lot of work. Go ahead.
In the movie Gone with the Wind, there's that great line. You could write this in your card. Rhett Butler says it to Scarlett O'Hara. He says to her, you should be kissed and often by someone who knows how.
Oh, that's good.
Sexy time.
That is really good.
Sexy time. Now, if you want to get your Shakespeare on, which not every guy can pull off, no offense, but I don't think Mary would buy Shakespeare coming from you.
Probably not.
I don't think Jen will buy Shakespeare coming from Todd. I think Max can pull off Shakespeare. Here's what you write in the card.
Hey, Todd, we look like a couple of illiterate duds.
No, it's not that. I don't really think. Mary, if you put a Shakespeare quote in a Valentine's Day card, Mary's going to go, that's so nice, Bob. Where'd you find that?
Well, I'm not going to claim that I wrote the words of the bard.
She's going to wonder, when were you reading Shakespeare?
Yeah, that's probably true.
When were you reading Shakespeare?
It's probably true.
When, in between having a martini and watching the news and walking the dog, were you reading Shakespeare?
The answer would be eighth grade.
Here's a great quote from Shakespeare for your Valentine's Day card, Mr. Last Minute. Doubt thou the stars are fire. Doubt that the sun doth move. Doubt truth to be a liar, but never doubt I love.
Oh, that is good.
And
you
if you're
what?
A flat
I gotta
earther,
tell you.
That's awesome right there.
You know what? He was good, wasn't he?
You know, there's a reason why his stuff
is still around.
Still on the charts.
Yeah.
F. Scott Fitzgerald. You are the finest, loveliest, tenderest, and most beautiful person I have ever known. And even that is an understatement.
That's perfect.
Now give me a drink.
Right.
This is one of my favorite lines by the writer John Green, who writes a lot of young adult, like Fault in Our Stars, that kind of stuff. So, of course, my daughters have all the John Green books, and I've read them. This is my favorite of all the John Green quotes. It would be a privilege to have my heart broken by you.
I like that.
Why do you like that? I mean, it's not ending up well.
It's not.
If you said that to me, I mean, unless you're about to put me in a tiny box in your truck.
I had a relationship with somebody that was brief. And it ended up that it didn't work out. And we both knew that it wasn't going to. And she said, I'm sorry if you feel like I've wasted your time. And I said, I'd do it all over again.
Because it was a privilege.
Because it was a privilege to have my heart broken by you.
That might have been one of the nicest or the nicest thing that any man ever said to that woman.
I mean, it's...
Holy cow. Because not only do you say, I'm not hating you, you're saying this is how great you are.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was a privilege.
As you go out the door.
Now, this last one that I'm going to give you is perfect for chit-chat who pays for everything. But I wouldn't put it in Mary's card. This is just kind of like the ultimate love sentiment from chit-chat who pays for everything. Oh, okay. Samuel Lover. Mm-hmm. Come, live in my heart and pay no rent.
Yeah, I'm going to pass on that one. Ooh.
Or for anything else.
Ooh.
Which one did you like best? Did you like...
That's the one I liked the least.
Did you like Rhett Butler to Scarlett O'Hara?
I liked that.
Or did you like Doubt Thou, the Stars Are Fire?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to make that...
I think the Shakespearean one and the Fitzgerald one was very good.
I'm going to customize that for the people that are flat earthers who like to email me. Doubt thou the stars are fire. Doubt that the sun doth move. Doubt the earth to be round, even though you're a chucklehead. But never doubt my love.
Yes, exactly. This is Bob and Sherry.
Now, let's open up the Bob and Sherry Archive Vault.
Here's a headline that caught my eye. Flashlight destroys $14 million plane. In Glendale, Arizona, officials said that a flashlight is responsible for causing so much damage to a multi-million dollar jet it cannot be repaired. Huh. The incident happened while a F-35 was undergoing maintenance at Luke Air Force Base. The report states a three-member maintenance team removed a panel and inserted a metering plug into an engine fuel line. They prepared the aircraft for an engine run to test the installed metering plug for fuel leaks to make sure everything's good. The engine run was reportedly completed without a problem, but the damage was found after the engine was shut down following the test. The board's president said there was a preponderance of evidence that a handheld flashlight caused damage that cannot be repaired to the $14 million aircraft engine. According to aircraft officials, each member of the maintenance team was current and qualified to accomplish all the tasks. However, officials said an incomplete toolkit inventory, along with a failure to comply with Joint Service Technical Data Guidance before starting the jet's engine, resulted in damage to the plane. So basically, somebody had their flashlight in there looking at something. They laid the flashlight down, and they went ahead and cranked up the engine without doing an inventory of all the tools. Sort of like having an operation, and they leave a sponge in you, and they don't count it, and they sew you up.
Yeah,
except this was
a
$14 million plane.
You know, some people are saying...
How can it not be repaired?
Some people are saying that the person who left that flashlight on is Taylor Swift. That's what I'm hearing on the internet right now. She's...
That's the least of the rumors. I'll go ahead and tell you that.
Yeah, I know it. Wow, that is something. It's Bob and Sherry.
Thank you so much for listening to the Bob and Sherry podcast, the Oddcast and Talking Lamar. We would love it if you would subscribe, rate, and review, and maybe share it with a friend on Facebook, Instagram, wherever you go. And thank you again so much for listening.